Hate to start this way, but we have to talk about the tragedy here in Kokomo, Howard County. Very few hard days, I know, for this area, staff, residents here in Kokomo. I just can't imagine what went through your mind when you heard about what happened to the Sheriff Koontz.
I got a call early morning Sunday from our police chief. There was an incident where a sheriff deputy, two were shot. One ended up being fatal later on in the day, passed away on Sunday. This was outside of Kokomo, about 10 miles in Rusheville. We sent our SWAT team out to assist. The state police obviously swarmed the area. Obviously this is something I've never dealt with, and not something that's happened in this community in a long time. So a couple things you have to focus on, obviously, is we're going to go through a grieving process as a community that has begun, but we also have to maintain stability, and so we're doing what we can within the city police department to help take calls, especially the next day or two as they were trying to other officers were wanting to be with the family, so we were taking calls and have been outside the city a little bit to try to make sure we reinforce law enforcement, and we're just hoping that this, we try to make as best of this as we can.
Yeah, what goes through your mind as a mayor of a city who, of course, has your own police force when something like this happens so close to the community?
It was odd because obviously the details start coming out later at 1:30 or so in the morning. It's two officers have been shot. We have a serious situation. Someone held up in their home. All those things. So, you're obviously trying to take care of the emergency situation in the back of your mind. How severe are these injuries? Not knowing till later in the morning that they were fatal. Had to transport them to Indianapolis. Then you kind of go through another phase of this isn't good. It's been very difficult for a lot of people. A lot of outpouring support for the law enforcement agencies here in Howard County from the public. The public has understood this and has done a great job.
In the aftermath, did you go through some type of revisit procedures, things like that? Is it kind of a reminder?
It does. You have to, at some point, whether it's begun much now, but you have to revisit those things anytime, at any level. We owe it to the officers to revisit policies and procedures and make sure we owe to them and all the other officers to make sure that every risk that's out there was mitigated as much as possible and continues to be.
So talking about training, I see where some Kokomo police were training downtown for summer events and things coming up. What's all that about?
Probably with the horses.
Yeah.
We're one of only two, unless others have added to that. A few years ago, we added a police horse patrol for special community events. We don't own the horses, we rent them, but we have mounted police that at some of our festivals, parades, and community events. I think it was last week, maybe they were out on a nice day getting acclimated to the conditions that they would experience, which is a little the horses themselves, being around maybe a little more noise and vehicles, things like that.
Kokomo making headlines last week with the passage of a city ordinance that protects LGBT Hoosiers. What does this, and there was a lot of coverage on this, but I just wanted to touch upon it here today since we haven't talked to you in a month. What does this ordinance do that didn't beforehand?
Well, we had an ordinance in place for over 20 years, and what it did, it's a human rights ordinance, protected different classifications, people with disability, non-discrimination based on disability and race, religion, national origin, sex, all those things. And this added LGBT to that group, as well as marital status and your status as a veteran. And the issue really was more than, you know, the protections are important, but the problem was, it happened last year when the state and when they passed the RFRA bill and created, you know, there's the, you know, the economic damage that was done by our state government with the image of Indiana and that perception that people have of our state. There are serious implications from that, and that's loss of revenue from, I think, Visit Indy estimated in 1 year we've lost about $60 million in lost revenue just in the Indianapolis area, let alone the other parts of the state from conventions and visitors and tourism. And we were really, last year, after the session and after the damage was you know, that damaging process, we considered doing something last year, but we were promised by our state government that they would fix this. So we hesitated and put it on hold. We thought it would be better to happen as a statewide to try to repair that damage, that it would be fixed statewide. And obviously that didn't happen in the General Assembly this year. And because of that, you know, we felt we needed to take action here in the community, and the city needed to do this. What people may not realize, I think we're the 21st, maybe the 22nd city or county that has put these protections in place. So we weren't really breaking new ground, but you know, this was something that we had to do to let people know that we are a welcoming, tolerant, and an open community. And I think we, I think it will only help the perception people have of Kokomo.
But it really seemed to bring a lot of residents. I mean, you had a packed city chambers, and then outside Sure. There were standing room only, and it Sure. Seemed like it did ruffle up a lot of residents. What was their main concern, why they were against it, and did their message get to you?
Well, there's always, you know, there's always concern with change, and you had, you know, both sides. Or, you know, both sides of the issue. You have people that are very passionate about it, and you know, a lot of the dissension came, I believe, from misinformation. There are things within the ordinance that are, to me, are should and were debated, and that was the who appoints people to the Human Rights Commission, the size of the fine, some of the timeliness issues. Those are good arguments to discuss and have. There was some mischaracterization on some people's part that tried to make this about public restrooms. Those are not scientific arguments. Those were arguments that were based on emotions. There was some fear-mongering going on by people who really should have been, who would probably consider themselves community leaders, who did not do that when they could have. You know, so the, you know, some of those things were very much fair game to talk about. When this has been in place in Indianapolis for over 10 years, I think maybe 15 or 20 years in Monroe County and Bloomington, and Tippecanoe County, Lafayette has had this for four, South Bend, Fort Wayne, the issues they were trying to, the things they were trying to make into issues really weren't pertinent to this conversation.
Now, you're the president of the Indiana Association of Town and Cities.
Indiana Association of Cities and Towns.
Does this issue come up? Do you guys talk a lot about this in your meetings too?
Yeah, we do. You know, we've obviously we went through the legislative process, and that was discussed, just like a lot of the other legislation that was out there from road funding and all those things. So yeah, it came up, and it comes up from time to time. We have not met as a group or an executive committee since the legislative session has taken place. We've had a few conference calls, I know other cities are thinking about it or have either council members or mayors that are considering this as well. You know, unfortunately, the state didn't do what they promised they would do, and we've been left with no other alternative.
I did wanted to touch upon some of the statewide news and wondering now, since a lot of these bills have been passed, how you felt about any of them in particular, maybe the road funding bill or any of the drug abuse bills that the governor even just signed just yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those are a step in the right direction. The road funding particularly received a lot of attention. It's a step in the right direction. I don't think anyone believes it was a long-term fix. There's a lot of things we can control here in local government and some things that are beyond our control. We're working to, we look at each resurfacing project and look at that as, can we also transform the road to limit the amount of asphalt, reduce the lane width, maybe even reduce lanes so that our long-term maintenance costs are stabilized and maybe even hopefully go down. What we're disappointed in, though, was 87% of all the roads in the state of Indiana are managed and maintained by cities and counties. And that money that the state uses comes from our local communities. It comes from our cities and our counties and the taxpayers that live there. And obviously, it would have been nicer to have gotten a little more of the funding going to locals, but at least we made a little bit of progress.
I did see earlier this month a report that Kokomo paid $30,000 in fines. There were three different city projects. Is this something you saw coming?
Keep in mind this. There are different instances, and most of them, two of them, almost all of those were paid by the contractor that had acted properly. We're a little disappointed. We couldn't find, as we're going through our research, too many times when the state issued fines. One of them involved trucks putting, during a wet season, putting dirt on the road from their tires and things, and that was one that was paid for by the contractor. So, everybody has a job to do. So we don't see a lot of other cities experiencing these fines for some of these infractions. But we thought we were maybe doing the right thing by just avoiding the conflict and paying. Not sure what direction we'll go next time.
The new Y has been opened a month now. How's it been? Good news over there?
A lot of good reports. Yeah. Everyone in the community seems excited. I think this urban design is very appealing to the people that have Y memberships. I was able to give opening remarks at the ribbon cutting, and one of the things I talked about, the exterior design, I think it's very beautiful. It makes the rest of the surrounding blocks downtown, it enhances them. And so one of my comments, even if you never step foot in the YMCA, you're going to be able to enjoy it as well. It's just a beautiful structure and inside and out. I think it separates us from just about every other city in the Midwest.
And I drove in past the stadium and still saw some construction workers. So they still kind of...
Still, yeah, we're still finishing up some things, had some design changes. Tonight, Kent State University and the University of Evansville play a regular season game this evening. We've had Purdue just finish this weekend and had three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was a little cold, but I think they enjoyed the facilities. And so... just finishing up final details. First high school, a scrimmage will be this Thursday, so the high schoolers will get their first chance to play on it this Thursday.
And any predictions in your team, the IU Hoosiers, and now in the Sweet 16? What's your prediction with UNC on Friday night?
I don't want to jinx anybody because I don't do so well with my predictions. Obviously, my heart says IU, and the way they're playing, they're playing very well as a team. They seem focused. And they seem to be peaking at just the right time. we are very optimistic in Kokomo that IU is going to continue their winning.